Hello again, welcome to the program. We're continuing in the book of John. We're in chapter 7. In our previous program, we said that Jesus cried at the last day of the feast, and he referred the people he was speaking to the Holy Spirit. In verse 39, "This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive." Now, we mentioned in our last program that it is extremely important to understand that the Holy Spirit is not an influence. The Holy Spirit is a person. Over and over again in this portion of Scripture, Jesus referred to him as he, the Spirit of truth. So once again, it is so important that we emphasize that the Holy Spirit is not an influence. That is what he does. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. Now, I'm going to focus here for a minute on your spirit. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, quite often we hear somebody refer to the body, soul, and spirit, and like a whole lot of things in Scripture, we do it backwards. When the Bible talks about this subject, it talks about the spirit first. The spirit, the soul, and the body. Now, the spirit is that part that communicates with God. The Bible says, "My spirit bears witness with your spirit." The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions, and the body, of course, is what we live in. Now, if we look at the diagram here of the unsaved person, what happens is, the Bible is very plain about it, that the Holy Spirit bears witness with the spirit of the unsaved person. That person will then be convicted of his or her sin. Then they must make a choice, and their free will, they can choose however they want to. But the Holy Spirit, in fact, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit are always in complete harmony. And we decide then at this point whether we're going to listen to the Holy Spirit, who tells us we need to repent of our sin and receive Christ as our personal Savior, whether we will receive him or whether we will reject him. That is our decision. So once a person trusts Jesus Christ as their Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live within the person. Now, I'm going to give you a few scriptures here, and I'm going to go through them quickly without many comments. You can go through each one of these. When a person is genuinely saved, we have a new creation. Therefore, the Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." If that's not a reality, there is no conversion. The Christians are not condemned. The Bible says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." As I said, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit, then we decide what we're going to do. If we choose Christ as Savior, there is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Next, we read in the Bible, "Their sins are removed as far as the east is from the west. So far hath he removed our transgressions from us." Not only are they removed, he says, they are forgotten. "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Now, the Christian is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We have scriptures that tell us that once a person is saved, we can be sure we're going to heaven. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know," not hope, not guess, "that ye may know that you have," present tense, "eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Now, the problem is, once we have been saved, we are still influenced by the world. The Holy Spirit is within us, and he is influencing us to live the way the Word of God says to live, but we are under constant attack by the world. And so we have a diagram here of the saved person, but he's still influenced by the things of this world. He is not only influenced in the area of his body and the things that he would do with his body, but he is influenced in the things that he would do with his soul, which we said is the mind, the will, and the emotions. And so now we have this war that we never had before. The Holy Spirit directing us to do what is right, the old nature directing us to do what is wrong. Paul put it this way, he said, "But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." But he said, I see another war here. There's a war going on. And so what we have to do is decide, who am I going to follow? Am I going to follow the things of the world? Am I going to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit? Now, the choice is ours. What we need to do is put off concerning the former conversation. That word means manner of life. Put off the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and in true holiness. Now, I'd like to spend a couple hours on each one of these verses. I just want to give them to you so you can work with them. Now, what happens here is we've got to make the decision that we are going to stop the influences that are coming into the soul or to the body. So we have basically what happens is our mind, our will, and our emotions, which is the soul, will dictate what the body is going to do. And so the choice is ours. Now, Paul said he had a war in his members. The Christian, with his body controlled by the Holy Spirit, he's given up all kinds of things that he knows he should, but he is still influenced by his self-life in his mind, his will, and his emotions. And so the attack comes on, and we have to decide which we're going to do. Are we going to go with what the Holy Spirit is directing us to do, or are we going to do what the world suggests we should do? Now, we said before, the soul consists of the mind, the will, and the emotions. A Christian may have victory over sins of the body and yet refuse to let the Holy Spirit control the mind, will, and emotions. Jesus said, "If any man come after me, let him deny himself." Now, the self-life is the mind, the will, and the emotions. And so, the Bible says that, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things which ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." Now let's look at some evidence of being a Christian controlled by the self-life rather than by the Holy Spirit. First of all, self-will. Self-will is simply rejecting God's will and following my own desires for my life. Another thing is self-pity, dwelling on things that do not turn out the way I want them to. You're going to dwell on that, you're going to have something going that direction every day. And then worry, to afflict myself with unnecessary distress. Well, let's look about winning the war. The saved person controlled by the body and the soul, that person's coming along now, but he's got still another major attack underway. The spirit life. What about getting the spirit life under the control of the Holy Spirit? Paul put it this way, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And so he goes on to say, living this crucified life, he says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." He didn't do it in his own power. "And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all." He had the victory. He said, "I fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith." But he said, "Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." So the Christian is living a life of unconditional surrender to the will of the Holy Spirit, unconditional separation from everything and from everyone that the Holy Spirit would direct him to separate from. And so the Christian then, with a world influence in his spirit, that attack keeps coming. It's got to go. We've got to put a stop to that. And the decision simply is ours, whether we'll let the Holy Spirit have control or not. So when we're talking about this spirit life, the Bible talks about a faithful spirit, a hasty spirit, a humble spirit, a broken spirit, a wounded spirit, and an excellent spirit. What kind of a spirit do we have? The Psalms talks about being overwhelmed in the spirit, a spirit not steadfast, a provoked spirit, failing spirit, a spirit in whom is no guile. Philippians 3:3 says that we worship God in spirit and rejoice in Jesus Christ. And so the formula is there. We've gone through this very quickly. I've just given you these notes that you may work on them. When Jesus was talking to Christians as they were setting out for this ministry in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, you read there in Matthew chapter 5, seeing the multitude even up into a mountain, when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth, and he taught them. And all the way through, we've looked at this before, he is speaking only to Christians. And to the Christian, he says, straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. This has nothing to do with getting saved. He's talking to people minus Judas Iscariot. He's talking to those who are saved. And he said, for these saved people, straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And so the Christian with a spirit-controlled life, he is going to have the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, which means self-control. Against such there is no law, and they that are crucified have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lusts of the flesh. And so we see the saved person living the Spirit-filled life. And so it's the resurrection life. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The Bible says that God will revive the spirit of the humble. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save us such as be of a contrite spirit. The Bible says, to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my words. And so we've seen in John chapter 7, as we looked at this portion of Scripture, he was talking about the fact that the Holy Spirit that hadn't come yet, let me read it, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. The Bible says when he is come, the Holy Spirit, he will guide us into all truth. So very important. A very quick outline here, hope it can help you. Be sure and be with us for our next message in John chapter 7.